8. I had had to change buses in Catherine on my way down to Alice from the Kimberleys. It was lunchtime. The pub was full of truckies and construction workers drinking beer and eating pasties. Most of them were wearing the standard uniform of the outback male, desert boots, navy singlets to show off their tattoos, yellow hard hats and stubbies, which are green, tight-fitting, zipless shorts. And the first thing you saw pushing past the frosted glass door was a continuous row of hairy red legs and bottle-green buttocks. Catherine is a stopover for tourists who come to see its famous gorge. The gorge was designated a national park, but some land rights lawyers found a flaw in the legal documents and were claiming it back for the blacks. There was a lot of ill feeling in the town. I went to the men's room and, in the passage, a black whore pressed her nipples against my shirt and said, "You want me, darling?" No. In the time I took to piss, she had already attached herself to a stringy little man on a barstool. He had bulging veins on his forearm and a park warden's badge on his shirt.
"Nah," he sneered, "you dirty gin, you couldn't excite me. I got me missus. But if you sat on the bar here and spread your legs about, I'd probably stick a bottle up, yeah?"
I took my drink and went to the far end of the room. I got talking to a Spaniard. He was short, bald and sweaty, and his voice was high-pitched and hysterical. He was the town baker. A few feet away from us, two Aboriginals were starting, very slowly, to fight. The older Aboriginal had a crinkled forehead and a crimson shirt open to the navel. The other was a scrawny boy in skin-tight orange pants. The man was drunker than the boy and could scarcely stand. He supported himself by propping his elbows on his stool. The boy was shrieking blue murder and frothing from the sides of his mouth. The baker dug me in the ribs.
"I come from Salamanca," he screeched. "It's like a bullfight, no?"
Someone else shouted,
"The Boongs are fighting!"
Although they weren't fighting yet, but the drinkers, jeering and cheering, began shifting down the bar to get a look. Gently, almost with a caress, the Aboriginal man tipped the boy's glass from his hand and it fell and shattered on the floor. The boy stooped, picked up the broken base, and held it like a dagger in his palm. The truckie on the next stool poured out the contents of his own glass, smashed its rim against the lip of the counter, and shoved it in the older man's hand.
"Go on," he said encouragingly. "Give it him."
The boy lunged forward with his glass, but the man parried him with a flick of the wrist. Both had drawn blood.
"Olé!"
shouted the Spanish baker, his face contorted into a grimace.
"Olé! Olé! Olé!"
The bouncer vaulted over the bar and dragged the two Aboriginals outside onto the sidewalk, across the tarmac, to an island in the highway where they lay side by side, bleeding beneath the pink oleanders, while the road trains from Darwin rumbled by. I walked away, but the Spaniard followed me.
"They are best friends," he said. "No?"